All right, this is a special episode of the MGB Wrestling Podcast. This is ASICS, this is American slang. And it's kind of a special one for a couple of reasons. One, we weren't actually there. We were actually in England at the time, so I've been catching up on Powerbomb TV. And two, you'll notice that I said I as well. Mason's not actually going to be doing this one with me, so you just got me. It's probably going to be a bit shorter, and I'm not going to have him to bail me out when I miss something as well, or him give him his insight. Now, Powerbomb TV didn't have the pre-show, let me go through quickly the results from this. Jake Parnell, this was actually a gauntlet match, and I think this is the match that went on for an hour. I think I saw on Twitter somebody say that this was one of the longest matches. Perhaps not quite that long. Jake Parnell was first in, and he was with Mikey Banker. And Jake actually beat five people. He beat Mikey, Graham Bell, Lucas Calhoun, Jake Garvin, and Gary J. Then John Kerman submitted Jake Parnell. Savage Gentleman pinned John Kerman. Steve Manders pinned the Savage Gentleman. Bobby Shields defeated Steve Manders. Isaiah Frazier, defeated Bobby Shields. Alex James defeated Isaiah Frazier. And then the last person in was Killer Kelly, due to a referee stop due for injury. Thankfully, she will be okay. Now, Killer Kelly actually put on Twitter, so my at VA wrestling debut didn't go as planned because I'm super clumsy and I sprained both my ankle and elbow. Or as I like to call it, didn't want to get pinned or submitted by at Prince of Pro, which is Alexander James. Thank you so much for the amazing reception, even though I wasn't announced. She also went on to tweet a little bit later, "By the way guys, I'm fine, I just need some days to rest and I'll be okay to wrestle next weekend. Also, thank you at VA Wrestling for having me, you guys are great and I definitely want to be back." And that was fairly early as well, that was from like 10:42 PM it says. So this was only a few hours after the match, so obviously she's in pretty good shape. Okay, and on the main card, match one was David Starr versus Jordan Grace. Now, I don't have much for this match at all. I know it was going down well with the crowd. There was chants of both these wrestlers, rather than just going the typical Jordan Grace chant or the David Starr chant. And it's kind of interesting listening to this as well, because normally when we're there watching, I talk with Mason, I talk with people around me. Here you actually got to listen to the commentary, so you actually picked up some bits of insight that you wouldn't ordinarily get when you're just watching that. Now, one of the things they did say on the commentary is that Jordan Grace is the future. And actually, the other commentator disagreed. It's actually said that she is the current, which kind of difficult to argue with, actually, particularly if she's the current Commonwealth Cup champion as well. In the end, actually, Jordan Grace managed to get David Starr to tap out with a bear hug. Now, Dylan Hales, which is at Dylan Waco, said on Twitter, "Jordan Grace beat David Starr with a bear hug tonight, and it was totally credible and got over huge live. So don't tell me that you can't get anything over as a finisher if you know what you're doing. You can. Someone do the headlock next. I'm dead serious." And there was 250 likes for that in less than 24 hours. The other one was from actually David Starr himself. "Every time I come to at VA Wrestling, I leave feeling like I've had a great independent wrestling experience. Tonight, I finally got to step in the ring with at Jordan Grace. I walked away knowing why she's one of the most in-demand wrestlers going. Bring her to the world stage now." So commentators very positive to Jordan Grace, and so was her opponent David Starr. And the other thing I noticed at the match was Maddie, who we sat next to at Commonwealth Cup, had a happy birthday sign, but I couldn't actually read who it was. That comes up, I think, in match four. Match two was between Team Blue Nation, which was Charlie Evans and Jessica Troy, and Team Bad Behavior, which was Brittany Blake and Penelope Ford. Now, Charlie Evans and Jessica Troy were making their Nova Pro debut. They both featured before at Rise and Shimmer. Now, I looked into Charlie Evans a little bit more. She's age 21, and there was a review on Cage Match, which gave her a 9 out of 10 rating, and it said that a really impressive young wrestler, now making her name in the UK scene, can play face or heel convincingly well and deliver some very good matches, has done really well and made a good impact in the Progress Women's Tournament as well as the Pro Wrestling Eve. Seems to be a natural one to watch for sure. And the only thing I really found about Jessica Troy was one of her trainers is listed as Adam Hoffman, which is not going to mean anything for the rest of you guys. Actually, it's somebody who I work with, and he's someone who has the same name. I'm going to guess it's not the same person, although he does do coaching as well. On Twitter, I didn't find much either. One thing I did find was, though, a tweet was about, "Guys, how great are Cheez-Its, though?" I guess we're coming over from Australia. They're getting to try out the American snacks. So that was one of the things that they liked. Somebody actually responded into that Cheez-Its comment. I just followed you for this reason alone. Now, I did notice, actually, with this one, the streamers were back. We talked about in the previous one. Where have the streamers gone from Nova Pro? They used to be thrown in all the time, and then suddenly they disappeared. One other thing I noticed from this one as well, I couldn't tell if the refs were mic'd up now. You could hear very clearly at the start. With it being a tag team match, the ref saying one in and one out. Very clear. And you don't always hear that stuff even by the side of the ring, so I was kind of interested on that one as well. And it was also good, once again, to have the commentators there to tell me a little bit about some of the wrestlers that I didn't know. And actually, Blue Nation went on to win this one. They beat Brittany Blake and Penelope Ford, and thoroughly deserved it too. I was very impressed with, in particular, Charlie Evans. And Charlie Evans was actually fighting the next night as well. And she put winning some tag teams and idols with J. Troy tonight, and everyone else will lose. Now, this was actually the Rise DTWA titles, but it was featured on an Impact event. And also, the other people who were in that match was Chelsea Green was on one team, and also Kylie Rae was in another team as well. So, a couple of people who've been mentioned at Nova Pro recently, and some pretty big names there as well. Match 3. This was the knockout or tap out only, and it featured Dominic Guarini and Sage Phillips. Now, this type of match I thought really suited Dominic Guarini. He has an MMA background, so submissions is obviously kind of a big thing, so making people tap out is something that he's used to. And he actually posted on Twitter as well, "I live for the art of submission. Tonight, the rules change." And it's also mentioned that it was live on Powerbomb TV, which it was, which is why I'm getting to talk about this right now. Now, at the end of the match, Sage left the ring very gingerly. He received multiple blows to the head, and this is actually what ended the match. The referee actually stopped this before he tapped out. Another brutal fight with Guarini BC. I didn't win the match, but I showed at VA Wrestling how tough of a man I am. Thank you to the Nova fans for always supporting me. It makes the 10-hour trip worth it every time, and I'll see you at the Elk Lodge on July 28th. That was the tweet by Sage Phillips after the match. Match 4. Shaz McKenzie defeated Halo O'Hara with the Shaztastic Stunner. There was cries of welcome back at the start for Shaz McKenzie. I know she went and was very popular in her one time that she when she debuted at Nova Pro. And it'll always stick with me as well, because that was one where Mason tried his treatment for the first time and it didn't unroll and it just hit Shaz. But she threw it back to him. Harlem actually made the ref go on his knees and pray before checking her at the start of the match, which was, I really like the Harlow O'Hara character. Each time she comes, I'm more and more impressed, and I like this little touch at the start of matches. Harlow was initially dominant, but Shazza started to get more offense, and eventually there was that Shaztastic Stunner. She had to roll her away from the ropes, and then she pinned her 1-2-3. Now, Shazza put on Twitter, "I always chuckle when people call me one of the fastest rising stars. Like me, 10 years hasn't felt like very fast to me." Now, Shazza was also giving high fives to everyone, and then she gets to the gated community and offers a double high five to Ed, the leader of the gated community, and then as he tries to high five her, she backs away and runs her fingers through her hair. I thought that was a nice touch. And then as she was walking off, she gave him one more look as well. That was certainly picked up on Powerbomb. I'm not sure if most of the fans even noticed that actually happened. And I did realise now why Maddie had her sign earlier. It was Brian Hughes, the ring announcer's birthday. And he returns to announce match 5 with a party hat on and the crowd cheering happy birthday to him. And two streamers were thrown at him in a style very similar to what I mentioned with Mason earlier. They just didn't unroll at all. So Mason, you got some good company on the stream throwing. Match 5. This was the triple threat match for the tag teams. This was the Hooligans, the Carnies, and the Ugly Ducklings. And also there was a third hooligan who I didn't know exactly who it was at the start, but it looks like he was a coach similar to the style that Coach Mikey is the coach for the Ugly Ducklings. Now, it's often the case though, this match started before the bell even rang. These teams have a history with each other, so they were fighting straight away. Once they finally did get going, it was the Ducklings versus the Hooligans. Something I've asked Mason before, why would you tag in a third team? Why not just tag in your own partner? Because to me that always seems pointless. If you're not in a ring, you can't win. And you might never get tagged back in. But they did talk about that, the fact that you want to tire each other, tire the other teams out, and then hopefully you have more strength later in the match. Lance Lude was in a lot of trouble to begin with. He was trying to get a tag. He put in a lot of punishment, as he often does. And then Rob Kildroy came in, and he took out everybody with three very acrobatic moves very close together. One was a jump over the ropes to take out both hooligans. He then dragged Nick Higgy over the ropes, and then he took out three people. With a bounce over the top rope and taking out everybody else. We heard the crowd of this was awesome after a crazy combination where Rob used both hooligans as a launch pad, but unfortunately got caught by Nick Higgy. We got to see a lot of the signature moves. There was the launch pad McQuack, actually on all four opponents together. They all got stacked up in the corner. And there was some chanting from the crowd, which I'm not going to repeat if we're trying to keep this PG. Now, there should have been a pin, but the third hooligan, who I think is the coach, lifted the leg onto the rope. Now, Coach Mikey saw this, turned his hat around and stormed around to go to the other hooligan and said he's ready to go to war. And then they started dealing cards out on the floor. Something I don't think two of the three sides would necessarily see for this one. Where the cameras were set up, you could clearly see what was going on. But yeah, they actually had a little card game there. Now, towards the end of the match, Rob took out both carnies with a flip outside the ring. But unfortunately, with this being a six-man match, this left Lance all by himself with the hooligans, who performed a hooligan destroyer inside the ring to end the match. And there was a standing ovation at the end of the match. I thought this was a really good match. I've always been a big fan of the Ugly Ducklings, but I thought all three teams really contributed to this match. On Twitter, at Sean Neutron, my chat with at Three Mother Duckers. Three really fun guys who simply love wrestling and are damn good at what they do. So, go check out the Squared Circle Sound Off podcast if you want to hear more about the Three Ugly Ducklings. Intermission was announced, and it actually faded to black, and he started talking about some of the other matches that were coming up. But then, Bo Crockett and Jake Hollister were seen in the ring attacking the Carnies. Bo used to be with part of the Carnies team. And Bo says to the camera, "Always the Bo show around here, and don't forget it." Now, it wasn't shown, but you could see fans react. After they beat up the Carnies, Jake Hollister actually grabbed a bottle of Fiji water from the 1%. He drank half of it, and then he put the rest of it up for sale on his merch table. And I found that out from watching on Twitter. Now, on the Powerbomb TV coverage then, it actually showed a title match from December 2017 with Jonathan Gresham, who's going to be featured later, fighting against Nick Gage, who was actually in part of the Commonwealth Cup. Match 6. This was a surprising one. Jackson Stone came out, but with Josh Fuller. Now, normally, Mac Buckler comes out with Josh Fuller as part of the Fuller House team, but anyway, not sure what happened there. And Josh Fuller was made to stand in the corner, though, much like he was in a previous match. And then this was the part that did surprise me. Tim Donst was there, and he was also in his Safety First character, which I wasn't expecting. A little twist this time was he was wheeled out, because I guess that's a little bit safer. Now, I didn't notice at this point, Maddie normally hands out her safety jackets to everyone in her section. I didn't see anybody wearing those at all. So I think same as me. Perhaps nobody realised that Safety First was actually going to be there. I'm not sure if it was promoted, and I wasn't paying as much attention because I was on holiday this time. There were a lot of streamers thrown for this one. And you could hear the Safety First chants as he enters the ring, and also when he climbs the ring post, of course, with some help, because that wouldn't be safe otherwise. Now, there were some new members of the safety squad too. There was Virgil. I'm not sure what Virgil's role was. He had a piece of paper on him, and I couldn't see what it was that he was showing, but it looked like he was showing notes to Tim at different points of it. And also the safety cone man as well. Now, just before the start, all the team crowded around together, the safety squad, and they did a break with the two safe men. And I know something that's Mason and also his younger brother Jackson. That's something that they tend to have been doing a lot recently over the holiday. The two safe, two safe. And it was also a bit of a crowd. They were getting into it as well. One side shouted, "Too safe," and the other shouted, "Woo, woo, too safe, woo, woo." And also the crowd was shouting, "We want safety" as well. We also had the safety spear again, which we've had before, where Tim was basically carried around the whole side of the ring and then round to the side and performed the spear. Now, Josh Fuller actually pulled Tim Donst off top of Jackson Stone mid-count, and where looked like he was clearly going to win the match. And Tim took off his safety vest, and actually the safety squad surrounded Josh. He gets back into the ring, and cool cautions Kyle, who was already climbing up to the top rope at this point, and performed a springboard DDT. And apparently that move has been christened Caution in the Wind, I guess much like Jeff Hardy's move. Then, after that, this was probably my favourite moment of the whole of the event. He went on to imitate Scotty Too Hotty. With the worm, except instead of spelling out worm, he spelled out cool. C-O-O-L. And I talked to Mason about this one. He thought they should have done safe, because that was also a four-letter word there anyway. Jackson hits Tim Donst with his own hard hat and almost gets a three count. There's then a pile driver and a 1-2-3, and Tim Donst defeats Jackson Stone with the safety last. And this is the last time we're going to see Tim Donst for a little bit. Or safety first Tim Donst, I should say. His next match is against Nick Cage, and he's going to go back to his former character, but we are told that we'll see Safety First again later in the year. Match 7, Paige Jackson and Deonna Purrazzo. Now, we were kind of disappointed we were going to miss this one. We knew this was Deonna Purrazzo's last match. It was partly organised by the Gated Community, and they made a special card as part of her being her last event. And we've been collecting those cards, and we were worried we weren't going to get one. And we certainly weren't going to be able to get it signed. And all this card so far being personalised to Mason. Anyway, I know we managed to get that card. The gated community managed to organise that for us. And we're going to pick that up at the next event. Now, as usual, the ref did his normal checks on Faye. And at this point, it rains money. Now, we've seen this happen once before at Nova Pro, but it didn't look like there's a lot more money this time. There must have been $20 to $30 dollar bills there. Faye starts to pick it up and puts some down at top, but gives the ref to rest. Deanna takes some of that money as well and does the same thing, and then they put the rest of the money in the ref's pockets. He finally does his test, and then he puts a dollar there as well. Ha ha ha. All right, we'll leave that at that. Now, Faye actually said on Twitter later, "Y'all can do this at any show I'm at, by the way, and I won't be mad." Now, Deanna worked on Faye's arm for a lot of this match as well. Faye Jackson was battering into Deanna Purrazzo. Deanna Purrazzo was trying to get her arm bar, which is her signature move. But Faye Jackson actually rolled her up for a near three count. And she actually finished the match with a drop it like it's hot. And then they went to get some champagne from the 1%. Now, Deanna tweeted later, "Long weekend spent with girls who you respect and admire, my favourite weekends. Thankful to surround myself with some of the best." And also she tweeted as well a little bit later, I think this was the next day, "Can airports build gyms? At least delays could be productive." And having just come back through airports where we had to wait for quite a while, I know that's something that my wife was concerned about. Would we get to the gym? And so that was something that she would definitely agree with Deanna for on that one. Match 8. Logan Easton-Laroe with Stokely Hathaway defeated Jonathan Gresham. Now, Logan comes in, followed by Stokely Hathaway. The crowd starts chanting, "You both suck." And there was also a lot of boos. And Stokely announces three things that had to change. One, Jonathan Gresham had to be out of the Dream Team. Two, Fred Yehi was in the Dream Team. And three, he'd worked on the fact that the Dream Team and a gated community collaboration. So this was the new twist for this one. And also, Stokely says, "Good luck on your first night with me." And he offers a fist bump, but Logan grabs his fist. And the look on Stokely's face was great. He looked very perplexed for this. Now, I noticed Logan on this one. He looked far more like a traditional heel on this one. In previous matches, he's been a little bit whiny, I think. But he had a mean side to him in this one. And it was kind of interesting to see the development in his character, too. Jonathan Gresham, I'm more and more impressed with him every time I see him. I thought he was really good. Now, at Dylan Waco, who we mentioned earlier, tweeted, "LMAO at Powerbomb cameras catching at Stokely Hathaway trying to lobby at Ed_Dow for some liquor mid-match. Hashtag American slang." And he responds, "My bad." So, yeah, there was drinks being handed out. There was some being handed out in the previous match, and he was trying to get some in this match too. Now, there was a low blow on Jonathan Gresham by Stokely Hathaway. And after the ref checks on Logan Easton-Laroe, after he's rolled back into the ring, that gives Logan a chance to do the Ace Crusher, and that finishes off the match. Now, Logan also tweeted, "As always, fantastic photos from @JLeeAC. Start off something big with @StokelyHathaway. So he's also mentioned on Twitter, this sounds like this is not just a one-off event. This could be something that's going on a little bit more. Jason Heat Schlafstein, @JasonHeatFV. He retweeted, "Another day, gotta give him hell. Book @LoganLaroe. Dude goes toe-to-toe with guys like Gresham and Hot Sauce and holds his own because he's that good. Let's get him national." And I saw a few people who posted some really positive things about Logan as well for this one. The thing from Jonathan Gresham I got was, "To all the people that recommended Glow on Netflix, I love it. It took me way too long to watch this." I actually added those to my iPod as well to watch when I was in England if I got a chance. I never got a chance, which was a good thing. So that's probably going to inspire me to try and watch it a little bit more. Actually, I think I watched the first 10 minutes while I was waiting at the airport, and that's as far as I ever got for this one. @PocketVolcano also posted, @TheJonathanGresham is the best technical wrestler on the planet, and I'll fight anyone who disagrees. #AmericanSlang18. And that sort of backs up what I thought earlier. Every time I see Jonathan Gresham now, I'm just more and more impressed. He's got a really good style, and I really like watching his matches. Match 9, Alley Cat and Kimberly. Nova Pro Wrestling tweeted on July 5th, "Dream matches do come true. Alley Cat will go one-on-one with Kimberly." On Twitter before the match, "Alright, I got my spray bottles, the catnip, and of course the ever-powerful can of wet food. At Boogie Bear, I'll see you later at VA Wrestling." And that's obviously from Kimberly. Now, this is actually Kimber's second time at Nova Pro. She appeared in the 2016 version of American Slang. And she also appeared at the first May Young Classic as well, so she's got quite a bit of experience there. And right at the start of the match, there were streamers for this one as well. And Kimberly dangled a streamer over Alley Cat at the start, just like a cat toy, which is another one of Alley Cat's little things at the start of matches. Kimber started to dominate with multiple German suplexes. Kimber attempted a swanton bomb from the top rope but missed, and Alley delivered a headbutt, which, the sound from that was kind of impressive. And then she pinned her 1-2-3 for the match. Now, I don't have much for this match, but it was a match I really enjoyed, actually. It's one of those we've talked about before. You get so into the match, you forget what you're doing, and then by the time you've realised, you don't have anything written down. So, good match, but yeah, don't have much for that one at all. Now, also, I got to say, I arrived back from England. We flew back on Tuesday. I've been watching a few of these matches. I still had a few to go. So I started watching these Tuesday night, but I was really jet-lagged at this point as well. I'd been up for, I think, 18 to 20 hours, not much sleep at all. And I really needed that last match, actually. It really got me sort of woke up again. Now, the next match was actually the Powerbomb TV Independent Wrestling Championship between Hot Sauce Tracy Williams and Eric Royal. And I have absolutely nothing for this except for Hot Sauce retained. And the reason I don't have anything, I was listening to the match, but I was also, I noticed that somebody I follow on Twitter at the Blade Job Show was talking about how good Kimberly was. And I was like, oh, I just watched that match. So I was interacting with those guys a little bit as well. And before I'd even realized it, that match was over. So yeah, sorry, don't have much, but my mind was drifting a little bit at that time as well. Alright, match 11, final match. Homicide and Wheeler Yuta again. So after they had their semi-final match at the Commonwealth Cup, which Wheeler won controversially on a very quick count, which looked like Homicide escaped after two, and then Homicide attacking Wheeler after he won the Community Cup, they got their rematch. Noticeable thing about this was Yuta started really quick for this one. He was really fired up for this. And pretty quickly on the outside, he set up five chairs, and he tried to suplex Homicide onto them. But he reversed it. And Yuta tweeted later, my neck, my back, that's all. After somebody posted the little video of that part there. Cop Killer was tried to be done by Homicide, but that was reversed. And also the Wheeler Bomb, but it was a kick out of two. And both of these moves were seen during the Commonwealth Cup last time. So they were trying to go for their signature moves. Now, at the finish, the ref is grabbed. And as Wheeler comes over, there's a low blow with a flailing leg. And then he rolls him up for the three count. So Homicide managed to cheat his way to a win for this one. And then after that, he continued to beat down Wheeler after the match was finished. And the ref was powerless to do much for this. In fact, he got so bad, the whole locker room actually came out. And then Homicide left. But he came back again. And he was throwing things into the ring. And I'm trying to think who was in the ring. I know Coach Mikey was in the ring. I know Rob Killjoy was in the ring. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams was there. And there was a couple other people there, I think, as well. Definitely went too far, and actually Yuta said on Twitter later, this ain't over, Homicide. And that was it. It was a really long event. It looked like, I think he said on Powerbomb, it was 3 hours and 36 minutes. And that doesn't include like the intermissions, it doesn't include the gaps between, because they edit that down a little bit. And it didn't include the pre-show either. Very positive response on Twitter from what I've seen. Some really good matches. I watched, like I said, over several days. Those last few I probably didn't give as much concentration to as I should for such big matches. But I want to make sure I get everything up. And I want to make sure I could try and release at least something at the last one. I know this is nowhere near as good as the other episodes. I didn't want a gap though that went A5 and A7. So I just wanted to put a little something out there and at least we get the results there. And it is what it is for this one. This is going to be under 30 minutes, and I'm certainly hoping by next time I'll have Mason with me, and then we can get back to our normal standard for A7, which is actually only, only 2 weeks' time, I think it is, or probably about 2.5 weeks' time, at a new location, the Elks Lodge. And I think it's actually called Harlem Nights, this one as well. So keep a lookout for this one. Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.